Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of John. 1 John 1.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Amen, amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. And again, tonight we're going to continue our conversation for this series for this month. We're talking about being a servant to God and what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ, that he's our Lord and our Savior, and how do we apply that doctrine and that thinking to be a servant, to be a slave for Christ, to be a slave to righteousness. Amen. Amen. We just heard the book of John, 1 John, and it was written to Christians. And then the Apostle John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that was in 1 John, and that was verses 8 and 9. So it's clear in that passage that even though that we are born again and we're saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ, we will still sin in this life, in this flesh. So knowing that we know that sin is, we talked about it on previous shows and previous episodes, that with any thought, attitude, or action that is disobedient to the law of God will grieve the Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit at times in our lives. We'll make bad choices and bad decisions. We'll submit and submit to our flesh and our emotions, and we'll get out of his will. But again, he is faithful and just to forgive us if we would confess those things. Amen. So, what that passage says, again, we are reassured. We are assured that God offers continuing ongoing grace whenever we agree with him about our sin and ask for his cleansing and his forgiveness. This is what grace is for the Christian man. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first of all, I just want to say thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and mercy, God. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for discernment. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, God, living within us, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit living within us and every man, every husband, father, and son that is listening to this broadcast, this episode, may it be through email, through Facebook, through their phone, the link on their phone, God. We ask, oh God, that something would be said tonight that would encourage them, that continue to press on, that he would not give up, that he would not give up his position, he would not give up the ground to the enemy, that the spiritual battle is ongoing, and that today, God, we agree with you, oh God. We submit ourselves and our lives to the Holy Spirit that will guide and direct us through all things and all challenges, God. Father, I lift up today, oh God, wives and children today. I lift up fathers and mothers, oh God, who have wayward children, God. I lift up those who have young children, who they are still mentoring and discipling and growing and shaping and molding into your church, into the body of Christ, oh God. So, Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to bless your church, God. Watch over your church, God. Protect us, oh God. And, Father, we ask, oh God, that you would guide and direct us, that we might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, and each of us would stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So continue to strengthen us and bless us, God. We lift up the pastors, elders, and deacons, and all those who labor in ministry, and all those who labor behind the scenes that make ministry happen in the temporal realm, oh God. So God, continue to watch over us. So God, we thank you for your grace and favor today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. brothers, again, you received this text, the link, an email. If you came, went to the link on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, or even if you went to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr, thank you. Thank you for taking the opportunity to listen, and I pray that something be said tonight that would encourage you in your servanthood, in this walk, in your journey, in your walk of faith in Christ, and that God will grow and you will grow spiritually, and the Holy Spirit will grow in you. Amen. Amen. So tonight, again, we're going to be talking to Brother Reginald Grant. He's an author, a men's leader. I'm going to let him introduce himself and give his short resume, but we're going to talk about little things about being a servant and what that means and what it looks like and how we apply that. Amen. To encourage us, because we all are called to be servants of Christ. If you listen to our previous episodes, we talked about that word servanthood or bond servant. The original translation means slave, and we all hear that word, and we know what it means. But are we slaves to Christ? Are we living lives as slaves to righteousness? Because we know what Christ has done, and we do it out of love. And again, we are saved by our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by works. So the things that we do because of who Christ is and what he's done for us. And because we love him, then we are saved unto good works. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Grant, can you hear me, sir? Good evening.
Good evening, Deacon Farr. I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, brother. Thank you very much for joining us tonight and taking some time out of your schedule. First of all, introduce yourself for the brothers who may not have known you from a previous episode. Introduce yourself. Tell us about your ministry, your website.
Absolutely. Reginald Gant. There's no R, by the way, in that last name. It's Gant. It's like Grant with no R, G-A-N-T. I am a Baltimore native. I've been here my entire life, and I started an organization a number of years ago. It's called Serve for Men, and basically what we do is that we equip, encourage, and empower men to step up into their leadership roles as protectors, providers, and leaders, you know, but we actually equip them to do it God's way. And ultimately we do that because we want the man to fulfill his legacy, you know, we want him to glorify God through his actions while he's living. So the website for anybody that wanted to check it out is www.serve4men.com. So once again, serve4men.com. I'm an author. I've written about 4 or 5 books now that are on the market as well. You can check that out on my website as well. But at the end of the day, Deacon Farr, I'm just a man who was literally out to serve himself to greatness so that I can show, you know, my 4 sons and 1 daughter that, you know, greatness is attainable to anyone who puts in the hard work and effort.
Amen, sir. Amen. And then, you know, that's what I thought about you when I was talking about being a servant of Christ and what it means. And I thought about your ministry and the books you wrote. Amen. But, brothers, I do encourage you to go to his website, check out his book. He has, well, it's 6 now. 6, correct, sir?
Yeah, I think we're up to about 5 or 6 at this point. I don't even keep track
myself. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 So we encourage you to go there and check the books out. And again, these things are for encouragement to help us grow in our Christian walk. And as here is Christian, Issues Christian Men's Talk, as you know, men's ministry is our passion. Men's ministry is the thing that saved me. It helped me get rooted and grounded for the time when men come together, study the Word, fellowship, encourage one another, and deal with some of the issues that we deal with as husbands and fathers and sons. Because we have more in common than we are different. And once we realize that, because I know a lot of brothers can remember when you first come to the church, you think everybody in there got it all together, and you find out that we all are in a spiritual battle, and we continue just to do the best we can and be obedient to God's word, his will, and to his spirit. So we all deal with the same things. Amen? But tonight we're going to start, Brother Reginald, we're going to jump right in, man. You know, being a servant of Christ, we have to look at ourselves first, I believe. Every man has to do it and look in the mirror and say, am I a servant of Jesus Christ? Or do I make Jesus Christ my servant? And I want to say that because I know, let me put it this way. We all probably been there. When we're young Christians, we learn to pray and ask God for things. I mean, we ask him for everything. We ask him to deliver us, to help us get through, to take away the sin and cleanse us. And then, you know, we have how am I going to say this nicely? We have the false teachings out here of prosperity, and we can ask God for this and all these things. But at what point do we become his servant? And I think that's, you know, where that's at, where we realize what God has saved us unto and what those good works are and being a servant unto him. You know, I recently talked about previously, again, in one of the shows, I'm going to come to Brother Grant and see what he thinks, but what are we doing for God? And what purpose? Because, again, we all have purpose. We're born with purpose. We're created with purpose and gifts and talents. But those things were put in us with God. But then we have to, through God, in Christ, is where our gifts and talents can be used most for his kingdom and to do those things that he's given us. Because we can use, because every man knows, as anybody knows, a person can have a gift and a talent, but they also can use it for the enemy and for the destruction of lives and people and hurt folk with that same gift and talent. What do you say, sir?
I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, serving is something that's very, you know, it's an interesting topic and conversation. I'm so glad that we're having it. And, you know, instantly when I hear the word, you know, I automatically go to Mark chapter 10, right, verses 44 through 46, where, you know, actually honing in on 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So for me, that's the blueprint, you know. That's God's mandate for all of us, right? God himself, for even the Son of Man did not come. Jesus Christ did not even come to this earth. He left heaven, if you really think about it, where it was perfect, and he was good where he was. He didn't come here to be served, but he came here to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that's what we should all be aspiring to do with our lives, Deacon Fall. When I think about serving, I think about the gift that God has given us. Each of us has been equipped with gifts at birth. And when you think about the essence of what a gift is, right, we give gifts away. So God has given each of us gifts. And what we're supposed to do with those gifts is serve those gifts to the world, give those gifts to the world so that, you know, in the end, our lives will be a ransom for many so that we have made impact and added value to the lives of others. And prayerfully, you know, during our time here, God was glorified. So I think this is a phenomenal topic tonight.
Amen, sir. I agree. And I think that's what we have to be as men of God. You know, it really doesn't matter how long you've really been saved, how long you've been in the church, how long you've been in the faith. You understand that, like you said, the scripture talks about where Jesus came to serve, to give his life, to give. And what are we giving in return for what he gave? And we are called. If we call him, I know everybody likes Savior, but everybody doesn't call him Lord, and we don't treat him as Lord. You know, again, we treat him like he's supposed to do all this for us, and we say we love him for what he's done, but how do we show that we love him for what he's done? You know, in the same way in the temporal realm, we look at our families, if we look at those around us, our relationships. How much do we do for those that we love? Do we sacrifice for? Do we provide for? Do we make provision for? Do we protect because we love them? So it's just, and I think it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. What are we doing for Christ if we say we love him and we say he's our Lord because of what he's done? Because God raised him from the dead to show that he was acceptable sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. So if we remember those basic understandings of the gospel, then we should, our lives should start to focus on being that servant. How can I live and please him? Because again, the scripture says we're going to stand before him and we want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And every man that's listening here, you have to look in the mirror. No matter what, if you listen to this in the morning, or the evening, or whatever it is, look at yourself in the mirror and ask, what are you doing? Are you being a good servant, a good and faithful servant to Christ? Because, again, the Bible says if we seek him first, all these other things will be added. So we have to have Christ at the center. I think that's where it really goes back to the basics of, is Christ the center of your life? Do you truly understand the gospel? that you say that you believe unto salvation, but do you believe it unto his lordship and your servanthood? Amen? What do you say, sir?
Powerful, 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 powerful at the core. Wow, of all of that, it really makes you think, right? Are we really serving him? You know, the challenge, I think, for a lot of men, Deacon Farr, is that we do a lot of works, right? When I say works, quote, unquote. And what I was reading the other day, which I found was really interesting, it was a devotional, I believe, by Oswald. I can't think of his last name off the top of my head. But he was talking about basically, right, the works that we do, quote, unquote, the works that we do, you know, and how that's not really a big deal to God, because what God is really looking for is sacrifice, right? What God is really looking for is obedience to that which he has asked you to do. So, yeah, you know, as men, as human beings, right, we want to be seen for what we do, right? We want to be seen when we're helping out the homeless, right, or when we're helping out, you know, maybe the single mom or whatever the fight is, right, fatherlessness, whatever. But what God is really looking for is sacrifice, you know, and everybody has a sacrifice, right? It's not one of us or some of us. It's all of us. We all have personal sacrifices that we are required to make on a daily basis, right? That's why Romans 12:2 kicks in, right? We have to renew our mind on a daily basis, because every day that we wake up, it's kind of like the movie Groundhog Day, right? It's the same thing all over again. The enemy wants to get you.
Yeah.
Right? The enemy wants to get into your mind. The enemy wants to attack you and your family. He wants to bury your legacy before you get started. And we have to renew our minds every day. But, you know, the question that I would pose, Deacon Farr, to the men out there that are listening, as well as to you and I, are we sacrificing and are we being obedient to what God has told us to do on a daily basis?
Amen, amen. Indeed, I like that, bro. That's the two words, sacrifice and obedience. And that's what servants are called to do. Again, if we look at historically, if we look at slavery, the chattel slavery here in America, the slavery in the Roman, in biblical times, the slavery all over the world, it's about the slave is called to sacrifice and be obedient to their master, to their lord, to the lord of the house, to the lord of the plantation, any time, season you want to talk about, the slave was called to sacrifice and obedient. And what more does God expect from us? Again, for what his son did. His son, out of obedience, like you said, left heaven, was sent here, was put into a human body, born of a human mother in this flesh, lived this life, walked this earth for 33 years in this submitted flesh. What more can we, as God, as expected from us as we live this out? And again, this is something, as Christians, first of all, as Christians, I know a couple of women sneak in and listen to this every now and then, but us as the body of Christ, as the church, are we sacrificing in this walk, and are we being obedient to what God has said, to his word? And anybody who knows, I always say, issue here, issues Christian men start talk, the only way you're going to know that you are being obedient to his word is to read and study and know his word. I mean, your pastor, we have great teachers out here. We have great pastors out here, preachers, teachers, theologians. But, again, this walk, this call on our lives is just for us. And if we don't know the word, because I believe it was the Bereans, they checked up on all that they were taught and said, we need to be like that in the body of Christ, because that's how we weaken sometimes, because we allow false teachers and false prophets among us to teach things that are not scriptural, because we are ignorant of scripture. And ignorant is not necessarily a negative thing. It's just not knowing, but we can know. We can know through the Holy Spirit and the study of our word. And that's why, again, here at Christian Men's Talk, I encourage men's Bible studies, men's fellowships, when we come together and we meditate over the word. We reason out these things over the word of God, that we all have an understanding, because we all are going to have different levels of understanding. That's how God made us. But when we come together as a body of men and we talk it out and hash it out and encourage one another to the understanding that's biblical, you know, then we can apply these words and learn to live lives that are sacrificial and obedient. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you just came in and just listening in, this is Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Brother Reginald Grant, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. And I pray there's something. First of all, thank you for listening. I encourage you to share this episode with your, those in your circle of influence, those three brothers, those men in your church, those either brothers you know who may be struggling, that may be on the edge, on the fence. You know, they know, I say it used to be a thing back before I was saved, but they're not really part. They're not really in, but they affiliated. You know, they're not committed. They're not affiliated, but they hang around us. So we want to get these to the brothers who just hang around you in the church, but they're not really affiliated. I'll leave it right there like that. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Brother Gant, we're going to move on. I wanted to ask you this. Is being a servant of Christ at our core? And again, we have to look at ourselves. Is being a servant of Jesus Christ at our core who we consider, that's who we are, that we are his servant? And could Paul called himself in Romans and in the beginning of a couple of his letters, he started off as the servant of Christ, bond servant of Jesus Christ. He knew who he was in Christ, that he was a servant. How do we get to that point that we need to understand that we are his servant, and that's who we, that's the identity we put on, that we walk in, that we are servants of Christ, that we have submitted unto him, and we start to live that thing out. What do you say, sir?
I think that comes with spiritual growth and maturity, you know, and for me, you know, I can vividly remember, you know, when I really first started to take the Lord serious, you know, I was a teenage father, you know, for anybody that's listening that may not know, and I remember giving my life back to Christ, you know, when I was 19 years old and my daughter was first being born way back in 2000. And obviously, you know, at 19 years old, let's just be quite honest, you know, I would venture to say most of us are not as spiritually mature as we could be. So I feel like it's a journey for all of us. But, you know, the scripture that comes to mind, you know, that I think about often is, you know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And you just have to, I mean, like you said earlier, Deacon Farr, you have to know the word for yourself. It's nice that your pastor knows it. It's nice that your first lady knows it. It's nice that you can, you know, click on YouTube at any given day and time or, you know, flip through the channels on TV and hear the word, you know, from others. But, you know, it's nothing like your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. And that comes with, you know, study. It comes with repetition. It reminds me of the athlete, right? In order for them to get to the top of their craft, it's the 10,000 hours, right? Have we put in 10,000 hours, you know, with God, you know, in our one-on-one intimate time? And I think for men, the challenge for many of us, Deacon Farr, is that we do not. And it's not like we do not have the time, but, you know, if I can be quite candid, you know, for me over the years, you know, I struggled with making it priority. You know, I placed a lot of other things as, you know, being more critical or more necessary in this particular moment. Or, quote, unquote, I'm too busy. You know, I'll get around to that later. And you know why, Deacon Farr. Sometimes for many of us as men, later never comes, right? We say, I'll do that tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. So it's for me, it's a spiritual journey, you know, that is really, you know, a part of all of our stories. You know, God is going to get his glory done through us. You know, it's like Romans 8:28. All of these things are working together. So even the times when we mess up, even the times when we disregard and disrespect God to his face, right, even those times, they have meaning, they have purpose, right? They have, something to do with him getting all of the glory and honor and praise in the end. But the only way that that's going to happen, you know, Deacon Farr, you know, and we can talk about this, is that we have to give God absolute authority over all of us. We can't straddle the fence. We can't, you know, want to live for God on this day and then, you know, on this day I'm just going to do me, right? We have to give God complete authority, absolute authority over each part of us, even the secret hidden parts that nobody knows about but us, right? What do you think about that?
Yes, sir, I agree, because, you know, some of us brothers out here, what's that called? We're schizophrenic. We got two lives. We got our Christian life, and then we got our other life. You know, we got, you know, so it's a melding of lives. Because when we start out in the faith, we do. We are two men. We are the Christian brother that goes to church, maybe Bible study, might even serve, might even, you know, do all the things, the activities of Christianity. But then, you know, we're different at work. We're different in our neighborhood. We're different whatever. We're different in our homes. You know, so it is living two lives, you know, and we have to start to live one life and be submitted to him in all areas of our life. Because, again, the Word of God has the answer for all parts of your life, from your career to your family to raising your children to dealing with your parents to dealing with your, I don't know, your in-laws, your siblings. All the answers and the wisdom is there in Scripture for us, and we have to learn to obey it. We have to learn to go, know where to go for the answers of the things that we struggle and challenge with. And that's where we have to surrender it over to God, and we're not living two lives. Or we're not two men and, or two minds in one body, because that's crazy, that's confusion. But again, that's what we are. When we are renewed, when the Scripture talks about being renewed in our mind, is when we start to agree with God and his word, and then we submit ourselves. And it's something you said about that, 10,000 hours with God. You know, and for my athletes, my former high school, college, collegials, you know, stars, I mean, we have a couple of professional athletes on the line, but it's about muscle memory. Because I remember back then when I was younger, it was about muscle memory. That's why you practice. If you look at the NFL and NBA and baseball, it's muscle memory because you practice. And it is muscle memory, and it becomes a reflex. It becomes automatic. And that's where we have to be spiritually when it comes to the things of God. And if we put that time in, like you said, if we put that natural time in, it'll be memory for our spirits. The word will come, the principle of the word, the understanding of the word. When we are challenged, when trials come and when temptation comes, the word will rise up in us. And for my computer geeks out there, the word is our default. You know, hit the reset and go back to the original default. If it's Windows 7, 10, or even if it's Windows 95, I mean, go back to the default. The default setting in us is his word and his spirit. But we have to surrender to it. It has to be in there because you can't go back to a default. Yeah, I said that because right now, if you try, I don't know about most brothers out here, hopefully you up the Windows at least 7 because 10 can hear, but some of you people holding on to 7. But whatever is the default in your computer. And for my computer geeks, you know you have to set up a recovery on where your computer, the date where it's going to default to. This is who we are in Christ. What is our default? At what point is our default set that when we're tempted or when trials come, what are we falling back on? Are we falling back on his word? We're falling back on our last prayer. We're falling back on the last sermon we heard. Because God is going to put some things in your life. He's going to give you some milestones and what was it called that Joshua did when they crossed the river into the promised land. They put those memory stones. That's what I'm trying to think. God's going to give you those things in the spirit where you're going to be able to, hopefully you can default to, but you have to plant those stones. He told the men of Israel, go find 12 stones, and he marked that place so they could remember what they went through and when they crossed over. And this is what we have to do as men of God from, like you said, you know, again, I don't want to, you know, call people out, but a lot of people have given their life to Christ in a lot of different ways. The prayer, the sinner's prayer, the mourner's bench, whatever, however. But at some point, you and God y'all are going to collide. Then when you start to take him serious and you start to surrender and you start to mature in him, because it's going to be maturity. Because, babe, there's a lot of science of that you can't prove that you are not a servant of his. Because of your spiritual immaturity. And what do babies do? With all of us who have kids, they want what they want when they want it, and when they don't get it, they cry and scream and throw tantrums. So some of us are still doing that. I don't care if you're 15, 16, 19, 30, 50, or 40, or 65, and been in a church since your grandfather was a pastor, or your grandmother prayed, whatever. Some of us are still got to get past that stage where we're infants, where we're we're what's the word I'm looking for? Selfish. That we want God to give us, we go to God for everything. We want milk. We want more milk, more milk, more milk, more milk. I'm crying till I get milk. And then when I'm uncomfortable, I want God to come, cleanse me, clean me up, and give me more milk. Amen? Sometimes we got to get to the point as men when we grow that we start to feed ourselves. Amen? I'll put it that way. I'll let that sink in. Let the brothers figure out what I'm talking about. Hopefully that'll help somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to Issues Fisherman's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr again, my brothers. I hope something is said to encourage you. And let me say this. I say this myself, and Brother Gant, you can chime in, that the reason I put these programs and episodes together is to encourage the body of Christ, the men of God, and help to encourage those that you may be mentoring or discipling, to give them something that you can go and think about. Because, again, we have to challenge one another. We have to challenge one another, check each other's oil, and talk about what we're going through as men. Again, just being a male in this culture, it can be hard. It can be overwhelming. This is why a lot of brothers, unfortunately, for a lot of reasons, they check out, because it's not easy. It's not easy being a man. It's just not that simple. It's easy to be a boy because you're under a covering, you're under protection, but the transition into manhood, it's a thing, and it's hard. But but as the body of Christ, we should be encouraging each other. And when we encourage and disciple and mentor each other, sometimes we have to go and get and ask the hard questions of where brother is, because if we don't do that, we have the Bible speaks of wheat and tare, and if we're not checking our brother, we ain't checking the tare around us. You know, God's gonna hold us accountable for that. Am I my brother's keeper, or am I not my brother's keeper? We like to use these things as cliches, iron sharpening iron. These are scriptures. These are the wisdom of God, and we need to apply these things, because iron sharpening iron means I'm iron rubbed against another man of iron. Because if I take iron and rub it against a man of wood, that man's going to be broken down and destroyed. But I can also check his iron, check his steel. That's because I love him, because he's my brother in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Brother Grant, let me ask you this. We're going to shift here. And I got one more. We're going to touch on one more thing here, because I didn't want to keep you. But I just wanted to be able to sow this information and sow this into the hearts and minds of men, that they might think about it and search these things out for themselves. Again, being a servant of Christ. Do you identify? First of all, you have to identify who you are. And do others see you as a servant? That's the other part, too. Are we living epistles? Are we being living examples as servants of Christ for others to see? Again, every man should be mentoring, discipling someone, even in evangelism in our communities and in our families, those who know us, who knew us before. Are they seeing us living in lives as servants of Christ? Amen? Are we being those living epistles and example? Amen? So, knowing what Christ has done for me, how can I do anything other than be a faithful servant? But how can we say if we know the gospel, believe the gospel, and we know the word, understand the word, how can we be anything else? How can we just walk around and go to church for 30 years and sit in the same pulpit pew for years, just sitting there and have done nothing, have not evangelized, have not witnessed to nobody? I don't mean we're doing the work. I mean, you said that before. We can do a lot of works, but have you produced a lot of fruit? What do you say, sir?
Yeah. Phenomenal question. And I think that's the question that challenges many of the hearts of many men, and I think a large part of the blockage, you know, Deacon Farr, and a loaded question like that, is that a lot of men, I feel like they look into the mirror and they don't feel like they're worthy of what God, you know, is calling them to do. And I'll share, you know, a specific example for myself. I remember God began to speak to me back in 2009. And God began to whisper into my ear, Reggie, you know, that you are going to be a leader of leaders and that you are going to be a leader of men. And in 2009, you know, Deacon Farr, you know, I tell people, you know, I could barely lead two people in silent prayer. You know, that's how I felt about myself. Like, your boy was I wasn't leading anybody. I felt like my life was in shambles. God began to whisper that into my ear. And then you know, I had an epiphany in 2019, a whole decade later, you know, at this point as I'm now married, and, you know, my wife and I, you know, we were talking and, you know, sitting around the dinner table with our sons, you know, God reminded me, you know, of what he spoke to me back in 2009. And I fought him and I ran. And I think the challenge that a lot of us have as men being fathers is that we run, right? We run because we think we have time. We run because we don't think that we're worthy. And I really wish, you know, that more of us, but, you know, and I try my best to apply this, you know, in my real life. I really wish that we would look at ourselves, right, the way that God sees us, right? Because we're marvelous in God's eyes. Even in our mess up, even in our faults and our flaws, right, even when we disrespect God and disregard God, we're still marvelous in his eyes. He still looks beyond the surface, and he still sees the best in us. And I think that the mature man, the mature male, the mature Christian can say, hey, you know what, I'll never be perfect, right? I'll never have it all together, but at least I'll be courageous enough, at least I'll be bold enough to give this, you know, living for Christ thing my best effort. And what does that require? That requires sacrifice, as we talked about earlier. That requires obedience. And that requires giving up what we want for what he wants. And that's every aspect of life and our marriage, you know. Try looking at your spouse, you know what I mean, the way that God looks at your spouse. And in those moments of difficulty, you know, and that might ease up that argument. That might ease up the tension. You know, even in our careers as men, you know, we're very career-driven. We want to get to the top of the ladder as quickly as possible. Have we prayed over that career? Have we prayed over that business? Is this in alignment with what God is calling us to do, right? And when the answer is yes, you will see the fruit, not only in yourself, but you will see that fruit in you produced in the life of others. And I truly think that's a point where you know that you are a true servant of God. My wife and I, for example, in our family, everybody comes to us for prayer. I mean, it's just a line drawn in the sand, Deacon Farr. We didn't make any personal announcements. You know, we didn't come and say, hey, you know, the door's open for us to pray for you. But why do they do it? They see us living out our lives for Jesus Christ. They know that certain conversations, certain language that, you know, they just are not comfortable with in our presence. And it's not like we're trying to change folks and stop folks from doing whatever that they do. But let's be honest, you know, when a Christian steps into a room, we should be shifting that atmosphere. We should be shifting that environment. We shouldn't be conforming, right, to the things that are around us. We should be changing the things that are around us for the better. I think that's just such a powerful question. We probably could talk about that forever, Deacon Farr.
Amen, amen. And I agree, sir. We as Christian men, as believers, we need to bring order to the chaos. People need to see, I understand what you're saying, people need to see the standard of how we live. And that's what if we're living as servants, if we're living as slaves to Christ, people see that standard, and we bring order to the chaos. And people seek you out for prayer. And you're right, we have to see, and then you said so much, but we have to see ourselves as God sees us. We have to understand that God, see, because his son died and because his grace towards us in Christ, we ought to present ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's who we are, knowing his grace and knowing that we are in a practice because we're not perfect. That's the other thing. We don't have to be perfect. You're not called to be perfect, but we are called to be faithful. And we're called to be obedient, and we are called to be that man, to be the example that people can see Christ in us. And again, it comes in a lot of ways and a lot of things you do. Like you say, you set the atmosphere and the temperature in your home. People come to your home. They know who you are. They know who you are out in the community. They know who you are even in the church. Because, again, you have a lot of folk at different places in their faith in the church. They need to see this thing working. You know, some folk out there, brothers, let me say this. There's some folk, there's couples right now in your ministry, in your church, need to see a successful Christian marriage. Mm-hmm. They need to see that. They need to see you and your wife, and that comes with, you know, that's the whole thing about fellowshipping, knowing one another in the local body, in your local church. You and your wife, I mean, I had a pastor tell me this a while back that, you know, it's fine that you and your wife have a happy and wonderful marriage, but if no one knows it, someone needs to see that to encourage them and know that if you what's your story and your testimony of how your marriage got there. Because, you know, my people who know me and they've known my testimony, me and my wife, we had 15 years before Christ, and now we got almost 20-something after Christ. But the 15 years before Christ, we was on shaky ground. But thank God that we was put into a church, and we was put into a church where the pastor and the first lady, him and his wife, they were married, and they were committed, and it was an example. And there was other mature Christian marriages there that helped to mentor and disciple me and my wife. Even with 15 years, I know some folks celebrate anniversaries, but some people, I've seen folks be together 20 years and still end up in divorce. And that's in the church. I'm not going to talk about the people outside the church, but in the church who've been together 15 and 20 years and didn't make it, gave up for whatever reason. But again, you know, this is what we have to be able to do, and this is the other reason why we have to start to mature and live the life as servants of Christ in sacrifice and obedience. Amen? And again, like you said, get that confidence knowing who we are in Christ. I think it all begins there, who you are in Christ and knowing how God sees you. And then understanding that there's a call on your life, there's a purpose. I mean, in certain circles, you hear pastors say that they had a call on their life, but God has a call on every member of the church. We're a body. We're called. There's a reason we have our gifts and the talents God has given us to be part of a body to edify one another. I always encourage the brothers, you know, the one another's. What are you? Which one of the one another's are you fulfilling? I believe there's like 50 of them in Scripture. You know, you can do a word search. You can do a topical search. The one another's. What we are as the body of Christ to support and edify and encourage one another in our faith walk. And that's what we want to do here at Asia Christian Men's Talk. That's the motivation of what I do, what we do here in these conversations and sending it out and touching and encouraging the brothers out there. Because you never know. Sometimes there's a brother out there that gets up every morning. He struggles just to get out the bed, knowing what's coming or not knowing what's coming for that day. And that's the brother we need to be praying for. We need to encourage him to pray for himself, help him, and mentor him to pray for himself, but also pray for him. And when we talk about fellowship, it's knowing that, you know, I need to pray for this brother because today might be his day. Today he's going to go through this, but only know that through fellowship, through true koinonia and fellowship, that we are our brother's keeper and we know each other. And some of that is buzz about building relationship because we have to be transparent. Someone has to know what you're going through. I mean, that we all pray, and we go to, you know, we all have services, and we pray those general prayers that everyone, that God knows the need. But I believe that we need to have some people who know our need because they know our heart and they know what we're going through. And that way they can pray through, know when to reach out to us. The Holy Spirit will put on your heart to call somebody. Well, again, we're out of the pandemic now. So I encourage the brothers out there, pastors, elders, deacons, whatever, whoever your responsibility in the body of Christ is to gather your men, start these fellowships, start the marriage fellowships back up, because a lot of folk during this pandemic, you know, they could no longer hide their true self in the busyness. Let me put it that way. And a lot of folk also have drifted because of the lack of being around the saints one to another. So, again, you know, it's shifting. There's a whole lot of political stuff I don't want to get into, but there's a shift. So we can come back together now. And us as the body of Christ, we have to reach out and start to draw men to us, lift up Christ, and come back together in these local congregations and gatherings. And physically, I mean, Zoom and Internet and Facebook Live, all that technology is great, but, you know, that's not what God designed the church for. I just put that out there for the pastors and those out there. I'm just going to make you think about, well, how did God start his church and how did he design his church to be? And I don't think God thought about Zoom and Facebook Live and YouTube. I'll leave that alone. Brother? Amen. This is unfiltered, unedited. No, I'm sorry. But I'm gonna come back to you, man, and just wrapping us up, man, because I didn't want to keep you long. But I just wanted to encourage the brothers out there. It's been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You can always check us out on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. The website for the talk show here is at Issues Christian Men's Talk, www.blogtalk. Deacon Thomas Farr, you can go to the website there and listen to the archive of all of our previous episodes. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Brother, again, give them there your contact information where they can reach out to you.
Absolutely. But before I do that, Deacon Farr, you just said something powerful, all right? And I just gotta run it back. You were encouraging, you know, all of the men to get back into fellowship, not only in their local assemblies, but with one another. And it just reminds me of something that, you know, I share often with men, you know, and I want you to think about CPR, right? And I always say that, you know, Christian men, especially those of us that are, you know, a little bit more mature, but all of us really, I always say that men need CPR, right? And when you think about CPR, you basically think about somebody who's maybe their life is on the line, right? So you give them CPR to bring them back to life. But when I share the acronym CPR, it just made me think about what you just shared, you know, when you said, you know, maybe God will lay somebody on your heart, you should reach out to them, right, that fellowship. CPR means this, when I share it. Men need confession plus prayer because that equals restoration, right? So men need to confess, like, those things that are going on, like you shared just a few moments ago, right, those things that are bothering them. Men need to be able to confess that one to another in a safe environment, right? And in that safe environment, those two men or three men or however many men can do what? They can pray together. So I can confess what's going on with me, what's going on in my marriage. I can confess to you, confide in you, what am I struggling with, right? And then together we'll pray. And I believe that confession plus prayer leads to restoration. So men need CPR, and I just think that was just a timely word that you shared. So I just wanted to run that by you as well. But for anybody that's listening, again, you know, my name is Reginald Gant. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook as Reginald Gant. That's Grant with no R, G-A-N-T. The website for my men's-based organization is serve4men.com. That's serve4men.com. And yeah, I'm easily able to be found on Facebook and LinkedIn, you know, for anybody that wanted to connect.
Amen, sir. Amen. And again, bro, I appreciate you taking the time out and encouraging the brothers. And again, brothers, you know, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, again, we just want to give a word of encouragement. Not that we have it all together, not that we put ourselves on a pedestal and think that, you know, look at me and I got it together. Why you ain't got it together? That's not what we want. What we want to do is to give a word of encouragement that you might start to look around, look in the mirror, look at your brothers around you, see who you can, again, who you can pray for, who you can serve, and how you can serve. And for us to be servants of Jesus Christ, we have to just know. We wake up every day. Every day our prayer should be, how can I best serve you today, Lord Jesus, to be his servant? How are you going to allow God to use you today? That's one I will encourage you to add that to your prayer. God, how will you use me today? And we have to make ourselves available to hear what he's going to say through us. And be prayed up. And have a full armor of God on. Be in a place where he can use you, because, you know, the thing that he might use you for, it may be a spiritual battle that he's going to be in, but you have to be fortified and in him and rooted and grounded. Amen? Amen. Brother Grant, again, thank you, brother, for being on. I'm going to leave you with the last word, and you can pray us out. And, again, I appreciate you, man, and hopefully we'll get together soon, and hopefully we can arrange to have you back on another episode later on in the year. God willing, if Christ don't come back, we're going to put together some more episodes this year. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if I could leave a word of parting, I would just leave the men with this, you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. I mean, from someone who, had a really shaky start, you know, in his Christian journey up until now, being 40 years of age, married, still growing, still developing, I will say this, you know, when we give our hearts to God, there is nothing that he will not do. So if there's a manual on the fence of living for God versus not living for God, or you have one foot in, one foot out, right, God considers that lukewarm, right? He doesn't like that. He'll spit that out. So what we encourage you to do is to have both feet in. Give God a try, right? Get together, get into your local assembly. If you don't have one, find a few strong Christian brothers that can pray for you, hold you up, but get involved somewhere, get connected. But most importantly, begin to know God for yourself. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? We want to make sure that we know him and that he knows us. So if I could just pray. Father God, we thank you. Lord God, we give you glory, honor, and praise, for this is the day that you have made, Lord God, and we have chosen to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, I thank you for the life of Deacon Farr and this Issues Christian Men Talk ministry, Lord God, this global ministry which you've placed on his heart, Lord God, for we know that this is a part of your divine assignment for his life. Lord God, I pray that this ministry continues to grow by leaps and bounds, Lord God, and that you continue to bless him abundantly, 100-fold, Lord God. I pray for the man who's listening, Lord God, to the man, the father, that's husband that may be struggling, Lord God, the one who may be ready to quit, the one who may be ready to give up or throw in the towel, the one who's tired, Lord God, of being tired, Lord God, the one who's always being beat down, the one who's always wondering, you know, why can't I get it right? I speak to the heart of that man, Lord God. And I ask that man, Lord God, to allow you to have absolute authority over his life, Lord God. I pray that the men and the fathers and husbands that are listening, Lord God, will begin to stand up, Lord God, into their kingship, Lord God. May we begin to stand up into the lordship and kingship of where you have placed us, Lord God, in our families, in our homes, in our communities, Lord God. May we begin to raise our kingly and godly voices of influence, Lord God, that we can shape this world, Lord God, and may we be the reason, Lord God, that others will ask, what must I do to be saved? So, God, we honor you with our lives, Lord God, and we pray that we continue to present our bodies as living sacrifices as we live to serve you, Lord God. It's not about us having our way. We're asking, Lord God, that you continuously have your way in us and through us and around us day in and day out. All of these things we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your neighbor.